Hello and welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show. This podcast is for purpose-driven people, and if you're looking for the most efficient and effective ways to inspire and empower your life, then you're in the right place. If this is your first time on the show, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. DeMartini. He's a human behavior specialist, and he's spent the past 5 decades researching everything he could find in order to understand what drives human behavior and the keys to maximizing performance. In this week's episode, Dr. DeMartini discusses how you can transform any perceptions of stress into what's called eustress so that you have the greatest resilience and adaptability, no matter the circumstances that you're experiencing in your life. This episode is packed with wisdom and practical advice, so make sure you have a pen and paper ready to take notes. Get ready for a powerful session, which will ensure that you're most adaptable and able to navigate the current times. Enjoy.
We have a very interesting topic today. Stress pandemic. Don't let COVID get you down. I've had some people that are very inspired by what's happened since the COVID experience. I call it St. COVID. And others that have been a bit challenged because it's really thrown quite a bit of a change in their whole life. So I'd like to talk today about a topic that is probably a reality for somebody you love, if not yourself. And that is stress. And so if you have something to write with and write on, you might want to take some notes. I mean, I know this is audio recorded, but it might be good to get a note down because sometimes writing it, you remember it better. Stress itself has two forms. One is eustress. And eustress is actually wellness promoting. And then there's distress, which is illness promoting, but actually ultimately assisting you in your journey of being accountable and authentic. So even though it looks like it's creating symptoms in the body and it's stress and causing illness, it's actually also helping you get back on track to what's true for you. So let me elaborate on that. Eustress is when you're doing something that you love, that's inspiring to you, that is challenging to you, that is initiating a sympathetic, parasympathetic balance. The inspiration is you're doing something you love that supports your values, but you're also having the challenges of tackling the obstacles that it takes to do it. And the reason why it is eustress, which means true stress, is that it's actually letting you know, with it helping you with your well-being, that that's the pursuit, that's the direction to take in life. So eustress is a confirmation that you're actually on track with what's most deeply meaningful and inspiring and productive for your life. Distress is when you are attempting to get sort of a one-sided life and the other side is smacking you with it and you're wanting a positive without a negative, you're wanting a pleasure without a pain, you're wanting an ease without a difficulty, you're wanting a happy without a sad, a support without a challenge. And then the other side of the magnet, the two-poled magnet, comes in and you don't want that side. And so it, because of the addiction to the pleasure side, the other side becomes very painful. And this is distress. Di means two, it's divided. Divided stress versus eustress, where it's truly integrated. So when an individual is doing something they feel they have to do, got to do, and they feel that they're having to live by duty instead of design, they have distress. And distress is letting them know that they're pursuing fantasies to some degree that aren't really congruent and aligned with what's really deeply meaningful to them. And in a sense, it's a feedback and ultimately wellness promoting in the sense that it's offering you feedback. It's like letting you know that's not the direction. Somehow readjust. So distress is actually also ultimately on the way, not in the way. Now, you know I don't do talks or presentations without discussing values. And so if you had any idea that I would do that, I don't want to let you down because it's just something I do. Because really underlying all human drive and motive is the human value system. So let me put that into context first. Every individual, yourself, anyone you meet at any one moment is living by a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most or least important in their life. Whenever they're doing something that's highest on their value, the number one priority, the thing that's most important, and they're taking action on it because they are spontaneously, intrinsically desiring to go and fulfill that. The challenges that they face in the pursuit of that is perceived as on the way and is perceived as stressful. It's like a young boy who loves video games and he's conquering the video game and he wants to beat the video game and he's challenged to do it, but he's not going to give up. He's just going to keep doing it and he's going to figure out and do it again until he masters it. And so he loves beating the video game. So that's stressful. But if you tell him he's got to do his chores or his homework or clean his room, and he doesn't really want to do it, it's not high on his values, it's low on his values. And he feels he has to do it because of an outside, you know, persuasion, punishment if he doesn't, reward if he does kind of thing. Then he has distress in even thinking about having to do it. And when he does it, he doesn't want to do it. So he's got a built-in brake on in addition to his gas pedal. So he's got a kind of like a hesitation and uncertainty when he's functioning. And it is the pursuit of something low on your value that is what leads to the distress. And anytime you do something high in your value, your self-worth goes up. Anytime you do something low in your values, your self-worth goes down. So not only is it distress, but it lowers your self-worth. Now, with that said, whenever you're doing something low on your values, you tend to, because of the unfulfillment in doing it, you tend to look for immediate gratification and you tend to have a subjective biased perspective and kind of twist things. And you have an unrealistic expectation you put on yourself or possibly other people. And as a result of it, you sometimes expect it to be done quick. And if it takes longer, you're more frustrated and it's distressful. And of course, your cortisol levels go up and norepinephrine, epinephrine, and all the catecholamines and, you know, the osteocalcin and all the things that are the distress process, the fight or flight mechanisms go up. And it actually raises your blood pressure and causes a digestive disturbance and immune deficiencies and all kinds of problems. And that's because you're trying to go and get something that's not real in life. There is no human being that's one-sided. There's no goal that's one-sided. There's no pursuit that's one-sided that's real. It's delusional. It's fantasy. So anytime you go off in a fantasy, you're going to end up having these distressful responses. And that's why it's not a bad thing. It's actually giving you feedback to let you know that you're not pursuing true objectives that have been, you know, balanced in your perspective, and you're willing to mitigate the risks and plan and with foresight. And you're now right now looking for fantasies, and fantasies lead to nightmares. Now, let me take that and put that in a different context. And I hope you write this down because this is something that may be a novel idea to you. There's only two forms of stress, only two forms. You will never experience anything but two forms of stress. And stress is the inability to adapt to a changing environment. People that are able to adapt and have resiliency, they don't perceive the distress that most people do. So the inability to adapt to a changing environment is distress. Stress has two forms. And please get this and write this. The perception of loss of that which you seek and the perception of gain of that which you're trying to avoid. I'm going to say it again. The perception of loss of that which you seek and the perception of gain of that which you're trying to avoid. That's it. I boiled it down to and distilled it down to the very essence. In the amygdala, which is a subcortical area of the brain, which is called the desire center, which comes active when you're not living by your highest values, but you're living by lower values, and you feel trapped doing something you have to do. The amygdala comes in as a compensation for the unfulfilled highest values, and it wants immediate gratification, and it wants a pleasure without a pain. It wants a prey without a predator. It wants an ease without a difficulty, and it sets up a fantasy and a delusion and some unrealistic expectation that is impossible to meet. If you do meet it, it's only transient, which leads to anger and self-depreciation and lots of other symptoms, which is distressful. So the second you strive for that which is unobtainable and try to avoid that which is unavoidable, you end up with distress and you're non-resilient. Why? Because the more infatuated you are with something, the more you fear its loss. And the more you resent something, the more you fear its gain. So stop and look right now. Think and do an inventory of what you think you might be distressful about. Or maybe you've got a friend that's distressed. Maybe you're not, but they are. And I guarantee you it's going to be one of two things. the perception of loss of that which you seek and the perception of gain of that which you're trying to avoid. So let's give an example. We'll go around the wheel of life. The wheel of life is made out of the spiritual path, your intellectual path, your business path, your financial path, your family relationship path, your social leadership path, your physical health and well-being path, and your inspired spiritual path. So let's start with business. Anytime you perceive the loss of what you want, clients, income, business, cooperation, staff, anytime that's what you seek, the perception of loss of any of those things is going to be distressful. And anytime the things you don't want, bills, challenges, incompetencies, people not showing up, anytime you attract something you don't want, you got distress. So the gain of that which you are trying to avoid and the loss of that which you're trying to seek is distressful in business. When it comes to financial, same thing. You want money, you don't want bills, typically. So if you have a perception of loss of income or a perception of gain of bills, unexpected bills, that's distressful. If you have a perception of loss of bills and gain of income, that's not distressful. That's invigorating. But what happens is if you feel that you're getting a loss of that which you seek and a gain of that which you're trying to avoid, it's distressful. Or opportunities in business for future income, or hindrances of people threatening or challenging of some form, or not living up to or not honoring their agreements. So anytime you have a perception of loss of that which you seek and a perception of gain of that which you resent in business, you got distress. Now you add that to finances, loss of money, gain of money. And then you do that with a relationship. Let's say you're infatuated with somebody and you now fear the loss of them, or you resent somebody and you fear being around them. Again, distressful. And in friendships, if you have people on Facebook and there's you fear you're losing people on your network or whatever, then that's distressful, or you're getting people you don't want on that network. So the gain of the perception of loss of the people you want, or the perception gain of people you don't want in the social networking. When it comes to health, obviously, you want vital well-being. You want to perform at your peak. Anytime you have a loss of peak performance, you feel distressed and you feel like you're losing your health. And at the same time, you feel like you're getting symptoms and fatigue and other symptoms in your body or whatever. You don't want those, so you have a gain of that which you don't want. That's distressful. And the same thing with spirituality. If you're inspired and you want the inspired path and you want to live by high priorities, and then you feel that no matter what you do, you're overwhelmed by distractions or something that you're not able to say no to them, and you feel like you've lost what's inspiring to you, it's going to be distressful. And you're gaining all these things that are frustrating to you that are low in priority, distressful. And the same thing intellectually. You feel like you've got a sharp memory and a great mind, and you're learning things and you're absorbing things and you're using your mind effectively and you're being creative. The loss of any of those is going to be distressful. And the gain of cloudiness, frustration, lack of memory, lack of information, not getting what you want knowledge-wise is distressful. So any area of life, the perception of loss of that which you seek, the perception of gain of what you or don't want or resent is distressful. And distressful, as I said, runs your immune system down and self-depreciates. But what that is symptoms guiding you back to what's authentic. Because whenever you're not filling your day with the highest priority actions that you can, that are proven to work in each of the seven areas of life, and making sure that they're either raised on your value list or linked to your highest values, where you're spontaneously inspired to do them, doing the things that are really highest in priority, you are designed to have distress. Distress is a feedback system to let you know you're not living by priority. So right now, let's say you have corona, and let's say that it's stopping you from doing the things you used to do, that you wanted to do, or stopping you from doing the things you fantasize about doing. If you perceive that what you did in the past had more benefits and drawbacks, and you perceive that what you fantasize about the future has got more positive negatives, then the perception of loss of that is going to be distressful. So that means when you look in your life, you had a fantasy that it was better or it's going to be better. My advice is to actually get present right now and do an inventory of what's real. to comparing your life to a fantasy about how it used to be or a fantasy about how it will be, instead of looking at what it actually is and starting from what actually is. Because anytime you compare what actually is to a fantasy of the past or a fantasy of the future, you won't be present now. You'll be comparing it to fantasy. Anytime you compare your current reality to fantasy, you're going to get depressed and you're going to get immobilized and you're going to end up distressed. And then you're going to get angry because you have an unrealistic expectation on yourself or on the world around you. There's in the Breakthrough Experience program that I teach, which I've taught 1,102 times, I believe. There's 15 delusions that people face in their life. Unrealistic expectations on others to be one-sided. Unrealistic expectation others to live in your values and outside their own values. Unrealistic expectations of both of those together. Unrealistic expectation on you to be one-sided. Always up, never down, always positive, never negative. Unrealistic expectation on you to live outside your own values or in somebody else's values. Unrealistic expectation of both of those combined. Unrealistic expectation of others and you're having all those delusions and those unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations on society in general to be one-sided or to live in your values or the combination or all the above. Unrealistic expectation on mechanical objects like an ATM machine or a car or whatever to do something it's not designed to do and to live in your values and read your mind. All of these unrealistic expectations are going to lead to what I call anger and aggression, feelings of blame and wanting to feel betrayed, criticism and challenge, despair and depression, desire to exit and escape the situation, feel frustrated, futile, and feel grieving and grouchy, and then you know, hatred and hurt, and maybe insanity and irritability. The ABCDFGH eyes of negativity, I call it. And anytime you have those unrealistic expectations, you're adding distress. But again, the distress is a feedback to you to let you know that what you're perceiving and expecting is delusional. When I look at when I have been stressed, I found that it's some unrealistic expectation or an attachment to a one-sided outcome or a comparison of something the way I fantasize it being, which is unrealistic, or a fantasy about how it used to be, that I perceived had upsides without downsides. But when I actually go back and look at it, there were downsides, but I was blinding myself to it, storing those illusions in my subconscious mind and now reacting. Again, everything that's going on in your life is ultimately on the way, not in the way. And distress is a feedback system to guide you to be authentic. And authenticity is to live by priority, according to your highest values, your real identity, because your real identity revolves around what you value most. So anytime you're having distress, it's a sign that you're doing something low on your priority and you're having unrealistic expectations. Because what's there is what's there. And comparing it to what it's not there is not real. And so here's the bottom line now. Stop right now and look at what's actual. If you're sitting there in COVID, what may be actual is that you have now clients that are different or situations that are different. The wise thing to do is to ask, how is that situation helping you fulfill what you value most? How is it on the way? How is it helping you get what you want? How is it giving you an opportunity? Who is it getting you an opportunity to meet? What new creative ideas is it initiating? Go around the wheel. What ideas is it initiating? What opportunities do I have in business? How can it help me make more money? How can it help my relationship? How can it help me socially and network myself? How can I use it physically to help my health and fitness? I've been using the COVID to go out and do more jogging and exercise. I did 50 sit-ups, 50 push-ups, and ran a mile in the house this morning. How's it helping me live an inspired life? The quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. If you ask, how is whatever's happening helping you in the seven areas of life and helping you fulfill what you value most, I assure you, you will discover that what you're perceiving as distressful will melt. And your mind will come up with creative answers and solutions, because anytime you're living by highest values, you open up your creative mind, your ingenious innovation, creativity, and your new ideas and original ideas emerge whenever you see things on the way, not in the way. So you can transform distress and the symptoms, which are offering you a feedback to guide you back into priority. And once you go back into priority, you'll transform distress into eustress. It has nothing to do with what's going on around you.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now, let's continue with this episode.
There's everything to do with how you perceive it. It's not what happens to you on the outside. It's how you perceive it on the inside. You have control of your perceptions, decisions, and actions in life. And so it's not the external thing. People that are run by external things are never masters. They're run by external. I said on The Secret many years ago, when the voice and the vision on the inside is louder than all opinions on the outside, greater and more profound and louder than all opinions on the outside, and all events on the outside, you mastered your life. William James said the greatest discovery of his generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their perceptions and attitudes of mind. By asking new questions, how specifically is whatever's happening helping me get what I want, what's highest on my value, what's truly inspiring to me, what is really, really most important and meaningful, what is most productive, how's it helped me business, how's it helped me in each area? By asking that question, and don't lie and say, I don't know, I can't find it, it's not. Don't be giving into the power of the outside and blame things on the outside. You will never empower your life dissociating and blaming and thinking something out there. Every time you blame something on the external, you'll look for some savior on the outside. Of course, religions have sold you saviors for centuries. If you wanted to get disempowered and offload accountabilities in your life and blame the world on there for the devil and blame somebody out there or give credit to somebody out there that's going to save you, well, you're not going to master your life. You're going to disempower your life and give your power to other people. That's called brain offloading. And that's a sign that you're living in low values and uninspired and not prioritizing, taking command and becoming a leader. So don't do that. Don't waste your time on that. You're not going to get anywhere doing that. That's a false reality, a scapegoat of reality. Stop and ask, how is whatever's happening? Get grounded in what's actually happening. How right now is it helping me fulfill what is inspiring to me? And do not come up with anything but that answer. Dig. And don't say, I don't know. When somebody says, I don't know, I can't, and I'm not, it means they don't have enough motive to go and look. I see it every week in the Breakthrough Experience, and every week when I have people go back and do it again, they find an answer, and then they go, oh, thank you. Once you go through that hurdle and find the answer, a creative idea comes out of the same situation you're facing, and this so-called distress turns into eustress, and you're back in the game again. And immediately you got a surge of energy, because the second you see things on the way, not in the way, your energy goes up. And the second you do, your blood sugar goes up and you start creatively thinking in the brain because the brain uses the most glucose and oxygen and it starts thinking again and boom, you come up with solutions. How is whatever's happening on the way, not in the way? How's it helped me in the seven areas? How's it helped me fulfill my highest values? And if you have not taken the time to go in and determine what your values are and you're new to maybe these little programs I'm offering here, please go on my website, drdmartine.com. And do the value determination process. Just take the time to go on there and do the value determination process and do it once, sit on it for a week, do it again a week later, sit on it, do it another month, and be freaking honest with yourself. Answer the questions integrally and don't write what you think it should be. Don't think what it used to be or what you hope it would be, your fantasies. Write what your life demonstrates is really important to you in those 13 questions that it's going to ask you. And if you do, you'll get clear about what's important to you. Because anytime you're doing an action and pursuing something that's not really high on your priorities, you're going to create distress. A lot of times people go and they think there's something wrong with them. I've seen major psychologists. There's a guy right now, I don't need to give his name, but a very, very intelligent psychologist that's in a delusion right now. And he's caught in an unrealistic expectation, and he's distressed. Not because he has to be, not because of what's happened, but because of the expectation. So it's not necessarily, you know, what your experiences are. It's basically how you perceive them. So take the time, do the value determination, do it again and again until you get clear. And what you say on there is integral to what your life demonstrates. Don't write a fantasy down. That's the thing that will cause you more distress. The pursuit of fantasies is the course of people's nightmares. That's the cause of it. I've watched people go after delusions and end up wondering why life beats them up. Life is magnificent. It's giving you feedback. It's offering you symptomatology. Symptoms are not bad. I'm going to make sure that I say that twice. People think that symptoms are bad. Symptoms are feedback mechanisms to guide you to wise actions. If you pig out and you feel yucky the next morning, the yucky symptoms are letting you know, quit pigging out, you little oinker. Don't pig out. If you go and stay up late and you didn't get any sleep and you feel trashed, it's feedback to let you know that's not the way to live. So it's feedback. All symptoms in any of the seven areas of life act as feedback mechanisms to guide you to set priorities with yourself and to put realistic expectations on yourself and to take prioritized actions and to set realistic expectations on others. People live by their values, not yours. So if you project your values onto them and expect them to live in your values, you're going to be distressed. If you expect you to live in somebody else's values, you're going to be distressed. If you expect to live them or you in one-sided ways, always one-sided, you're going to be distressed. If you try to do something low in your priorities in life, you're going to be distressed. Because whenever you're doing something to tie in your values, you're more objective, you're more balanced, you're more resilient, more adaptable, you have a bigger vision, you expand yourself, you see things from an overview effect where you're less judging, you're more creative, you see solution orientation, not problem orientation. But the second you go down to lower priority things and not be accountable to what is high in priority in your life and subordinate to everybody else's expectations, which is trying to please people instead of being prioritized and doing a service that serves people, the second you do that, you're going to get the ABCDs of negativity. You're going to end up with the symptoms of distress, and there'll be feedback to let you know. I've seen people self-depreciate, beat themselves up because they're comparing themselves to other people, expecting to live in other people's values, trying to be somebody they're not. And they beat themselves up. And they go, why do I keep beating myself up? I said, because you keep building yourself up with a fantasy about who you are instead of honoring who you are. And as long as you don't honor who you are, you're going to beat yourself up because the symptoms in your body and your psychology are going to get you to be who you are. The magnificence of who you are is greater than all the fantasies you impose on yourself. And the most magnificent you are is the authentic you, which is based on what's truly priority and important to you in your life, based on your true authentic values. And even though those values are evolving and you need to keep current with them and make sure your goals are consistent with them, you will transform distress into eustress the moment you live by priority. And so I'm a firm believer that you need to take the time, go back and do the value determination process, and get clear about what's really important to you. Look at your priorities. Prioritize what you do in business. Prioritize what you do with money. You know, many people are just impulse buying, walking in a store and letting the world out there with its sales tactics and rhetorical persuasion mechanisms grab your money instead of you going in there with an agenda, a little piece of paper that says, here's what I'm going to buy today. Go in there on priority. Think it out with foresight. Foresight saves you money. Hindsight costs you money. The same thing with friends. Prioritize who you hang out with. Prioritize what you read. Prioritize what you eat. If you're living by the highest priority things and not living to eat, but you're eating to live, you're reading to live, you're reading high priority things that inspire you, you're hanging out with people that are inspiring, you're going places that are inspiring. If you take the time to do that, you think about what will be of the most value to your customer, most value, highest priority to them. It's about going and figuring out what's the highest priority thing to the customer, what's the highest priority thing to do. So you can't wait to get up in the morning and do what you love to do, helping them get what they want to do. If you do that, you'll flourish. And the distresses will go down because distress is a feedback to get you to priority. It's getting you to authenticity. And who you are revolves around what you value most. And who other people are, revolve around what they value most. Find out what they value most by asking questions and caring about them to find out what their needs are. meet those needs, find the niche of people that you love serving, and get to those people bringing the highest quality, most efficient systems. When you're living by priority, you're more effective and efficient in your actions. It's called, in Ricardo's economic law, every country has a competitive advantage based on the resources that are most natural to that habitat. And resources in your life are based on whatever is highest on your value, because that's where you're going to excel and that's where you're most powerful at. So if you stick to what you are most powerful at, stay in your core competence, prioritize your life and stick to that, you open the doors for opportunities. But the second you go away from that, scatter yourself, react, and not live by foresight, distress is going to be there. And distress is going to, again, give you feedback to let you know, oh, change course. I've seen people literally lose it, just irrational as hell. And in the process of doing that, I've had it in my own life, watching myself doing that. And I stop and look at it, and it's almost like a feedback to let you know, whatever you're perceiving, whatever you're doing, turn 180 degrees. Because that is giving you a symptom to let you know the path you're on is not it. So it's offering you feedback to approach it with a different perspective and a different priority. So all of the symptoms in your life and the seven areas of your life are feedback mechanisms to guide you to the most authentic you, most powered you, most fulfilled you, most inspired you, the most self-governed you. When you live by priority, you end up self-governed. You're not distracted. And you can easily say no to people that are trying to occupy space and time in your mind. And also, if you're infatuated with things, the more infatuated you are, or the more resentful you are, the more likely you're going to feel the loss of that and feel the gain of that. So anytime you allow yourself to live by low priority things, you're going to subjectively bias your perceptions and exaggerate what's going on, how good it is and bad it is. Stop the story. If you're infatuated with somebody, stop the story. If you're resentful to something, stop running the story. Every time you run the story, you tend to exaggerate and dramatize with a positive feedback, subjective bias, and get it more polarized. The more polarized, the more distressed you're going to be. The solution is love. The solution is balance. The solution is priority. The solution is objectivity. The solution is going to forebrain and executive center, self-governance. So prioritize your life. Because every time you prioritize life and stick by the highest priority things, the blood glucose and oxygen goes into the forebrain. And the forebrain governs down and calms down emotions, governs those down, dampens the extremes of those, puts some sort of objectivity, gives you creative insights, allows you to see your vision that you want. Those are the vision flourish. You're able to flourish, and you're able to come up with solutions that will transcend the problem. So take the time to prioritize your life. First, determine your values, prioritize your life, stick to priority, and watch what happens. Your distress levels will become eustress. And ask quality questions. How specifically is whatever I'm happening today, whatever's happening, what's real? How's it helping me get what I want in the seven areas of life and in my highest values? And don't compare yourself to the past or future. Look at what's here right now and how can you use the resources in front of you to do something amazing on planet Earth. If you do that, amazing things will happen. And that's why I teach the DeMartini method. My method is designed to neutralize those extremes, which lowers the distress level. And the breakthrough experience, if you've never been to the breakthrough experience, please consider coming to the breakthrough experience. I promise you what you'll learn there, you aren't going to learn anywhere else. And it's a science on how to neutralize all the polarities that distract you from being present and inspired that add to the distress level. And distress ages if it's not perceived properly, but it's used as a feedback that can be very powerful. And also, one last thing, I want to share a little gift because I think I've been a little bit long-winded here. There's a number of years ago, a few years ago, I went to a planetarium in South Africa, Johannesburg, and I spoke to a YPO group, Young Presidents Organization. And these are adept individuals that were running businesses of a certain caliber. And we're in there and we were talking about how to have an astronomical vision. I said that if you want to make a difference in yourself, you need a vision as big as your family. If you want to make a difference in your family, be a leader in your family, you need a vision as big as your community. If you want to be number one in the community, you need a vision as big as your city. If you want to be number one in the city, you need a vision as big as your state. You want to be number one in the state, you need a vision as big as the country, the nation. You want to be number one in the nation, you need an astronomical vision, a global vision. And if you want to have a global effect, which is inevitable today on the internet, you need an astronomical vision. And so I explained that every time you're living by priority, your astronomical vision starts to emerge. And if you want to leave a legacy, you want to make a difference, You're not going to make a difference standing, fitting in. You're going to make a difference standing out. And if you want to make a vast difference, you're going to do it by being unique. And if you want to make a bigger impact, you're going to do it by prioritizing your life and expanding and achieving. And every time you achieve, you want to achieve something greater. So your astronomical vision, awakening your astronomical vision, is a gift. I'm absolutely certain you will you'll be inspired by this, because I know everybody in that room was inspired by that night. And I know it's going to help you look from a bigger vision, an overview effect. Astronauts and cosmonauts, when they go into space, they look back at the Earth and they fall in love with the Earth and they can't judge it. The terrestrial world is a world of trial. The celestial world is a world of great grace. And the second you astronomically vision, you see things, you're solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. So I just thought that that would be a perfect gift to give in this situation. So please go to demartini.inc/mission and grab it. It's a very, it's about living a purposeful life, and it's insightful, and it'll help you live more inspired, and it'll help you expand your vision. Because the bigger your vision, the bigger your cause, the bigger your outcome. And the greater your wealth and the greater your eustress levels. Eustress and distress are the same things can happen in your life, but it's all about your perception. Once you take whatever's happened and turn it on the way instead of in the way, then the world is in your command instead of you're either on top of the world looking down on it from an overview effect, from an astronomical vision, or you're on the bottom of the world where it's overwhelming you and you're feeling overwhelmed and it's on top of you. You decide. I hope today was helpful. And I know that, there's no reason for us to have anything on the outside world stop us from our dreams. Don't let anybody on the face of the earth stop you from what you know inside. There's nothing your mortal body can experience that your mortal soul can't love and turn into opportunity. So thank you for listening. Have a fantastic and inspiring day. Take what I've said and put it into action. Grab the opportunity by the astronomical vision, awakening astronomical vision. I promise you, you'll say thank you. It's a truly inspiring evening of presentation. And I look forward to seeing you on the next program. If I can see you alive or online, on the Breakthrough Experience or whatever program it is, I look forward to meeting you. Please introduce yourself when we get there. And thank you again for being with me today. Have an absolutely inspiring day.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. Demartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. Demartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. Demartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our Demartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the Demartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.